for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, and especially chapter 4, verse 1, and especially the words of Eve. There's a mystery there. It's a quirk of the Hebrew language that very often words are left out, and the translators figure that they have to fill some things in. And in this quote, there's basically three words. First word, I've gotten. Second word, a man. Third word, the Lord. Translators come along and they figure they need to smooth this out and make it make sense into English. I find it's very valuable sometimes to leave it raw and rough and unfinished and ask, what does it say? What does it say? Real, literally. And this one I heard about first when I was a teenager. Home congregation, the pastor told us what Eve said, and then years and years later, I got to go to seminary and learn Hebrew, and guess where I looked to make sure that what he had said was absolutely right? And, well, it was. The literal words of Eve, I have gotten a man, the Lord. Now that sounds different, doesn't it? On first blush, oh, she is wrong. She is absolutely wrong because the child she bore was named Cain. And Cain would become a murderer. He would kill his brother Abel. This is anything but God coming into the world. Hold on. What had she overheard that God had said to the serpent? I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. It doesn't say they will crush your head and you will strike their heel. It's he will. And for centuries, for thousands of years, for all the way back into the Old Testament times, those words were heard as the first promise of the Messiah, the first promise of the Christ, the first promise of the coming one. And what does it say about him? Well, he would be born of a woman. No mention of a man there. He would be born of a woman, and so there's part of the teaching of Christmas. It's the virgin birth, and Jesus Christ would be born of the virgin and come into this world in that way. And then there's the words about the battle. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And this Christ coming into the world would have to fight a battle. And that battle we know about. That battle was the battle on the cross, crushing the head of the devil, but wounded in that battle, wounded so that he died for us. He shed his blood for us. The first preaching of the gospel. And it's about Jesus and his cross. But there's more. There's victory. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Ah. So we've got Christmas, we've got Good Friday, we've got Easter, all in those verses. And Adam and Eve believe. And then they waited. How long, we don't know. Can you imagine being the first woman in the human race And now something is happening to your body. And it's childbearing. It's pregnancy. And there's no mother and there's no grandmother to tell you that it's going to be all right and what you're going through is what has happened to women before and this is going to turn out well. Still in our day, women who go through their first pregnancy, you know, they have times of nervousness and trepidation and worry. Is everything going well? Is it all going to go well? Imagine being Eve. And this is something so completely different. And she brings forth her firstborn son. I've gotten a man, the Lord. She's clearly wrong, but she's clearly on the right track. Because God will come into the world through being born. The second person of the Trinity will step down from heaven and be one of us. The birth of Jesus is that event that all history looks forward to and looks back at. The birth of Jesus, the one event the whole human race waits for. And through the Old Testament, the promise is there. With each child, is this the one? The promise keeps coming back again and again. You might remember, the verse from Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Or from Micah 5, verses 2 and 3. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will shepherd my people, whose origins are from of old, from days of eternity. And the following verse, therefore Israel will be abandoned until she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. All of history looking forward to this time. All of history hoping for this one birth. Because in this birth, in the fullness of time, God steps into the world and what God had been planning, even before the first creation of the first dust of the world, what God had been planning from days of eternity, that you and I should be adopted into the family of God and be brothers and sisters of Jesus. This is what was coming about. Adam and Eve sinned. They fell away. Down from the privileged and exalted place that they were given in the Garden of Eden. Down. And from that spot, it was not possible for them to raise themselves up, to take a hold of the infinite, to climb up into heaven and seize hold of God. God had to step down and stoop down and take our nature upon himself. And then to think about the fulfillment and realize this is what the angels are marveling at on Christmas. The infinite Son of God lies there in a manger, surrounded by animals and their messes and their smells. And this is God. This is God stepped down from heaven and laying there in the hay. And some... this is risky language, but the Bible pushes us to it. And sometimes the smell in that stable and manger comes from him because he needed to be changed. He was a real baby, 100% genuine human. And the angels, who know only God in his glory and magnificence and the brightness of heaven, now are sent to tell shepherds about this thing that has been done. Go to Bethlehem. Look in the stables. See in the manger. You're going to find God there. God who sleeps and cries and needs to be changed and nurses and his mommy has to carry him around and very soon it's off to Egypt fleeing from Herod and the shepherds are told this is where you find God. What an amazing and astounding marvel. Hebrews 1 verse 6, when he brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Worship him? In that setting? Confronted by the contrasts of God's glory and what he is now doing? So that's where we're confronted. The whole human race confronted by this miracle from God. And there's only two possible responses to it. One is to be amazed at the grace of God that he would so honor the human race and marvel at this breathtaking glory of God and bow in wonder and worship and see the character of the heart of God and sing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. The other response is to be offended. And there are those who take offense. Oh, there are those in our day that take offense. This is Christianity. God, in his amazing grace, coming to us, poor human beings. It's a gift that we do not deserve, but he gave it anyway. It is a marvel that we cannot comprehend, but he calls us to ponder and see, and one day see this Son of God coming into our flesh and born for us. One day, to stand before him and to marvel and to worship. And notice, this is not only the story of the manger, it's the story of the cross, the empty tomb. Eternity. In Jesus' name, Amen.